they do. He talks to us with authority and with power. And so, Lord, we want that. We want authority and power, God, to come through me this morning into our hearts, God. And we want to be encouraged. We want to be challenged. We want to be changed. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. So last week, I really wrapped up by suggesting that the parable of the talents is also of the minas in Luke 19, that what we're given, right, is use what I have given you. We've heard that prophetically four times through Elder Moe twice and then my journaling the other day. And we talk about use what I've given you, right? And so we're looking at that, and we know the one talent guy is given a talent, which we talked about is 15 years' wages, right? I did a little bit of math this week. I think they're paying people at McDonald's $13 an hour right now or something like that. Is that true? I don't know. Something like that.
No, it was like 16.
15, whatever it is. It's more than it's worth. Can I get an amen? Right, that's why I take my kids to McDonald's now. It's like $300 for a couple of Happy Meals. I'm like, say what? We stopped at Burger King the other day on the way home from Liv's game, and I didn't eat anything there. I don't eat that stuff. But my wife got some, and I thought the guy said $82. I was like, say what? He said 32. That's still too much. But anyway, the bottom line is, church, if you think about even at $15 an hour, one talent is 15 years' wages. So $15 an hour times 2,000 hours is $30,000 times 15. That's one talent. It's a lot of money, 1.5 million, if I do my math real fast in my head, right? And I get amen. Somebody gave you a check for $1.5 million and said, do something for God with this money. You'd be like, wow, that's awesome. Is that true?
Yes.
So here's what I want to try to explain to you. What we got to understand is this parable, like many parables, is a metaphor. We're supposed to get something spiritual by understanding something natural. Right? Paul says, first the natural, then the spiritual. Is that true? So what money does for us is empowers us to be able to do things. Is that true? If there's no money in the bank account, you don't feel very empowered to go buy anything. Right? Unless you work for the government. They don't care how much money is not in the bank. They just keep on spending it. Is that right? If you have money in the bank, you feel empowered. Oh, I can go buy this now. Is that right? So this is Jesus using this parable to say even the one talent guy had quite a bit of empowerment given to him, except we all know the story that he did nothing with it and went to give it back to the master. And what I finished with last week was suggesting that the master doesn't even want it back. Because the five talent guy goes, look, I made five more. Here you go. He says, I don't need that back. Keep that and here's more. Two talent guy, I don't want it back. Keep what I gave you, keep what you made, and here's more. Right? Only the one talent guy was afraid of the master and says, here's what's yours. He goes, but it's not mine. I gave it to you. Is that okay? So we finished up by suggesting that these talents represent grace and that we've all been given grace. So we're going to pick it up right there. Grace, if you're newer with us, I haven't given my definition of grace in some time here. But grace, this is my definition of grace. The supernatural power of God, which enables you to do what you cannot do on your own. Grace, the supernatural power of God, which enables you to do what you cannot do on your own. Is that good?
Yes.
So, I want to expand a little bit, and I want to suggest this to you. Maybe this parable is not specifically about grace. Maybe we're not supposed to nail the talent down as one thing at all. As I've been just reading through it over and over and over this week, praying through it, grinding on it. I'm pondering on it, listening to the Holy Spirit. And I really hit this, it was like Friday afternoon, it hits me. It's like maybe the talents are representing anything that God has given us. So rather than trying to narrow it down, and what is this talent? Is it this? Is it that? Is it there? Maybe we're supposed to back up and see in a general sense that whatever God gives us, he expects us to steward it well, and he expects us to manage it properly. He expects us to give it back, to present it back to him better than when he gave it to us. Anybody grew up in the generation, not this generation, but remember the generation, I'm old enough. Remember, your parents would teach us, if you ever borrow something, you give it back better than you got it.
Yeah.
Right? You borrow somebody's car, you give it back after you go to the car wash and fill up the tank.
Yes.
Right? You borrow somebody's chainsaw, nobody's ever borrowed my chainsaw, but if you ever borrowed my chainsaw, sharpen the chain before you bring it back, because you probably hit something that ain't going to cut anything anymore. Is that right? This is the concept we're seeing here, my beloved. Is this making sense? I want to look at something just for a moment here. I think what we're looking at this parable is a testing, time of testing from God. Everybody say testing. I remember as the Lord started talking to me about this, I remember years ago there were some folks in our church here that I preached this sermon one time about God testing us. They did not like that. And these are folks that had been with the Lord for quite some time. We used to sing this song here a lot back in the day. You guys remember that song from Matt Redman about blessed be the name of the Lord? And you get to the bridge where it says, you give and take away, but my heart will choose to say blessed be your name. They didn't like that song either. Same folks. We don't like that song. I was like, that's right in the Bible. That's a direct quote from the book of Job. So I'm like, what you're telling me really is that you don't like the Bible. We got a hold of a problem here. Is that right? If the Lord's taking something away from you, it's because he's got something better to give you.
Amen.
Isn't it funny how we hang on to stuff and God's like, why are you hanging on to that? Like hanging on to Burger King. God's like, I got some steak at home. But you got to let go of Burger King. Is that all right? So listen to this. Abraham, this is all going to, this makes sense in my brain, everybody. All right, if it don't make sense to you, then this sermon was just for me. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Abraham, many of you know that Abraham was the first time that the word what shows up in the Bible? I teach worship. Thank you very much. Abraham's the first time we see the word worship in the Bible, right? The Lord tells him, take your son, right, go to this mountain. And then Abraham is the one who says to the servants, me and the lad are going to go to this mountain. And everybody say worship.
Worship.
Worship the Lord. Pretty sure there wasn't a Hillsong DVD playing in the background. There was nobody's up front jumping up and down because that's their favorite song, right? We talked about this with Bishop Pitts. And Bishop Pitts, we were talking about with the worship team, if you guys remember this part with Bishop, and he was saying, look, what it tells me is that Isaac, because Isaac's the one that says, wait a second, we got the wood, we got the rope, we got some fire, but where's the offering? It says to me that Isaac has been trained that you cannot worship God without an offering. You can't come to God empty-handed and think you're going to worship him because it don't work that way. Is that true?
Yes.
But here's what else the Lord showed me. He says, yeah, Abraham's the first guy that, you know, worships God in the Bible. We see the word. First time we see the word, so we can say that, you know, Cain and Abel worshiped, right? God likes one and didn't like the other one. But here's what the Lord said to me. Abraham is also the first person in the Bible to be tested by God. Then God, after these things, God tested Abraham and said, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him to me. Church, I tell you what, if you got any kind of Bible software, as Kathy was sharing, you can go online now. There's free Bible softwares. Go online, find some kind of Bible software, and just type in tested as a word search and hit the search engine. You'll see over and over and over and over, God tested Israel. God tested Israel. God tested his people. God tested his people over and over and over. You want to know why do we take tests in school? To see if we're picking up the material. Is that true? Right? Are you getting smarter? Are you learning? Why would God test us? Are you picking up what I'm telling you? Are you learning? Are you getting smarter? Are you figuring out how this works? God tests us because he says, look, I want to promote you. I want to bring you to a higher place. I want to give more authority to you. I want to give you more things. But you've got to learn what you need to learn here before I let you go here. Because if you get here without learning this, then this, you need this to understand how this works. Is that true? If you don't know that 2 plus 2 equals 4, then algebra is going to be a real struggle. Is that all right? Genesis, I'll read this to you. Genesis 22, "Now it came about after these things that God tested," or say tested. Tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Michael Pitts has got a real great saying. I'm sure it's elsewhere, but he's the first guy I saw it. He says, "Faith that can't be tested is faith that can't be trusted." Amen. So what if this parable, my beloved, is about testing? What if we're looking at it, what if we're trying to figure out the wrong part of it? What is a talent? I don't know. What if the entire thing is actually about God testing us? I'm going to give you something and see how you handle it. And if you handle it well, that's an indicator to God that we're allowing him to work in our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9, verse 9. Look at this. "Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that..." I'm going to say this part together, church. "All that God has prepared for those who love him." So is the issue that God does not have stuff ready for you? No. Is the issue that God is, he's running out of stuff to bless his people with? No. I was talking to someone the other day. I used to think this as a young believer. If God blesses Kevin, that means God has less blessing to give me. Isn't it? That sounds so stupid, doesn't it? But I thought that for a number of years. I'd see other people getting blessed, and I'd be like, "Oh, why can't I get that? There's less to go around." And one time the Lord, I was probably whining about it. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, see, the building agrees. I was whining about it. The Lord spoke to me. He said, "Son, you don't understand something. I don't have power. I am power." He goes, I don't have riches. I am riches. I don't have wisdom. I am wisdom. I don't have healing. I am healing. Moses, "Lord, who should I say sent me?" I am. And so I was like, all right, cool. I said, I still don't get it. And they said to me this. He goes, if you give Kevin some money, it comes out of my bank account. And that means there's less money in my bank account because I'm not money. I have money. But he says, if you give Kevin Mark, there's not less Mark to go around because you are Mark. Is that true, church?
Yeah.
Do you see it? So if this test is about what are we doing with God thing, look, God has prepared all these things for those who love him. He's never going to run out of things that he's prepared. Verse 10, but look at this. Here's how we think. We prayed about this on Wednesday night. The Lord hit me this on Wednesday night. And we stop at verse 9 and think, oh, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard. We get all spooky about it as if we're not supposed to understand. But look at verse 10. But to us, or for to us, God has, I'm adding a word in there just for emphasis, God revealed them. Everybody say revealed them. What does he reveal? The things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. Paul says God revealed, already done, revealed them through church, through reading my Bible. Oh, through the Spirit, capital S. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Where's the Spirit of God, my beloved? You are, don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, Paul teaches that two different ways in the same letter. He says, you, Kevin, Kathy, all right, Josh, Isabel, all these people, Mark, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And what we're missing, my beloved, is that that's all we teach in the church. And you look at what that's produced is a bunch of independent believers that were competing with each other. But then Paul goes on to talk about, he makes a corporate statement. You, church, are also a temple of the Holy Spirit. Peter calls us lively stones being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Oh, well, God's at 12 East Street Drive. No, he's not. No, he's not. If we all decided to stop coming to this building, you know who would not be here? Is God. Because the only reason God's here is because we're here. Is that true? I no longer dwell in buildings built by the hands of man, says the Lord. Is that right? He says, I dwell in buildings that I built. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Everybody say, so that. So that we may, let's read it, church. We may what? Know the things that we still got to pay for because Jesus didn't pay for it all. Could you imagine somebody walks up, I can imagine this, right? And the Bible says God can do more than I can imagine, so I'm believing for more. I can imagine somebody walking up to me and handing me keys to a brand new Porsche. Here you go, Pastor. The Lord told me to give you this Porsche. I can imagine that in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Who's ever online? Somebody. Y'all got a Porsche you want to give away. I'll receive it gladly and bless thee. Right? But church, think about this. If somebody gave me a free Porsche or a free, I'll take a free latte at this point. I want lattes, 12 East View Drive, DoorDash it. And could you imagine, this is free, but you're like, no, I'm going to pay for it. No, it's free. No, I'm gonna work it off. It's free, Kevin. You don't need to pay for it. It's already been paid for. Well, what should I pray more about it? It's free. Well, I'm gonna sing some more songs to Jesus, and maybe then he'll give me some stuff. It's free, everybody. It's already paid for. And something about the church is like we think we still got to earn something. I'm going to just say something right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. I hear churches, spirit-filled churches say, hey, man, you got saved and born again, but your great-great-great-granddaddy was a Freemason, and he cursed you. He sold you to the devil or something. And so now but you're saved, washed by the blood of the Lamb, but we still got to deal with what some Mason did to you. What? What on earth? Are you kidding me? Look, either Jesus paid for it all, or he paid for nothing. Come on, church. I saw some preacher online the other day. He was talking about it. He says, listen to this. We're going to be done by 2, all right? This guy was saying, this preacher was saying, look, he says, right now, he's preaching in his church. He goes, right now, this guy's like my age, all right? He says, my grandmother is selling crack out of a taco truck in Miami. Right now, this lady's like 90 years old, still selling crack out of a taco truck. Retire, girl, you must have made enough money by now. Come on. He's like, my. I got uncles that have been in jail their whole lives, aunties in jail, drug dealers, thugs, all kinds of gang members. And he goes, you know what? I'm the first person in my family to have a bachelor's degree, first one with a master's degree, first one with a doctorate degree, first one to have kids after I got married, first one to do this, first one. He goes, because you know what? Jesus Christ broke every generational curse that ever came down my bloodline. I got a new dad. I got new DNA. I got new blood in my veins. Amen. You're getting wet this morning, bro. I love it. Church, say it's free. It's free. The only way we know is by the Spirit of God. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Let me just touch on this. Man, we're not going to get through this sermon today in the name of Jesus. We're not going to make it. Church, here's the deal. Want to know how to combat spiritual thoughts? Anybody ever have bad spiritual thoughts? Yeah, for sure. Come on, church. You want to know how you combat spiritual thoughts? With spiritual words. Let's read this verse again, because it's a tricky one. He says we combine spiritual thoughts. In other words, here's this thought, but we combine spiritual words with this thought. Does this thought line up to the Word of God? Yes or no? That's the only question you got to ask. Does this thought bring me closer to Jesus, or is it pushing me away? That's it. And if the answer is it's pushing me away, then we need to grab onto it and say, that ain't my thought, and that ain't God's thought. And there's only one other place thoughts come from, and that's from the pit of hell. Is that true? Last verse. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. But, oh, church, come on. Come on. We've made this one real spooky. Let's bring it back. What is he talking about? A natural man does not accept. So again, where's my free Porsche or my latte? Kevin wants to give me a free latte. I need to what, church? What do I need to do? I need to accept it. I need to accept it. Thank you. A natural man does not. Everybody say accept.
Accept.
The things of what things? The things freely given to us. Do you see this? We think it's some kind of deep revelation. Oh, so, no. God's just trying to say, dude, I look at all the stuff you already have. And yet we said, I think it's fine to ask for more. We sang a song about it. We want more. Okay, fine, right? The depths of God are beyond searching out, right? We can always ask God for more. But the problem is he says, look how much I gave you. You already have, look at this, dude, one talent, $1.5 million. You've done nothing with it. Amen. Oh, yeah. Anything that God gives us is to empower us to be more and more effective in his service and in building his kingdom. Think about this, y'all. How many people, we already know somebody doesn't have a regular job, but other than Kathy, I'm not being critical of that at all. Praise God. How many people have a job? How many people had a job? Maybe you retired, you had a job, right? Guess what? If you have a job, it's because God gave it to you.
Right.
Yep. Amen. That's what we're talking about. I went and I had an interview and I did this and I got educated and I don't care. I don't care. My Bible says that God gives all men the ability to make wealth.
That's
right. Amen. How many people are like, I ain't making wealth yet, Pastor. I'm making like half wealth. Dude. Praise God. You got a job? God gave it to you. How many people in here have a spouse? God gave him or her to you. How many of you have children? Because God gave them to you.
Amen.
No, Pastor. We know how to make babies. Well, so did Abraham. Abraham knew how to do that. Except it wasn't time for God to give him his kid yet. Got any money? Anybody got money? I got a little bit. You want it? It's because God gave it to you. Anybody got a gift or a talent? Special ability, anointing, calling, dream.
Yep.
God gave it to you.
Amen.
And what he did, guess what? It's free.
Amen.
But I had someone, I'll tell this story vaguely. I had someone several years ago in my family that got something for free. And it was because someone else had been very generous in my family. And I said this before, I pulled him aside. I said, look, please take better care of this than you normally do. Because by doing so, you show honor to the person who gave this to you.
Right?
So don't just trash this thing and let it fall apart. Take care of it. It was a car. It was a car this person was able to buy in my family, and they never would have been able to buy this car otherwise. I said, take it to the car wash. Stop leaving all your junk in it. It's disrespectful. Amen. Amen. Think about this, church. God, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Is that true?
Yes.
Are we tracking all right here? So let's go and kind of back up a little bit, and let's talk about grace. We're going to take this Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to just really talk about several different things in the scriptures, clearly in the scriptures, that are we have been given. Amen? But we're going to talk about grace a little bit here for the rest of the morning. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to get as far as we can get. Verse 1, Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility. Here's how to be worthy, church, right? With all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, okay, to tolerate, right? That means you don't like them. I'm just looking right down here. I'm not good at nobody. If you have to tolerate something, it means you don't like it. I'm still looking right here. That's it. But you know what God's saying? I don't care that you don't like them. Stop being such a baby and grow up. And learn to love that person that you might not like all that much.
Amen.
Thank you. Somebody liked that in the back. Praise God. Verse 3, look at this. Because what happens? What happens when we do not give room for people? Colossians, Paul says, give each other some room. Come on. Look at what happens. Verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What happens when we start nitpicking everything and constantly correcting everybody all the time? What happens is it starts affecting the unity of the Holy Spirit. Is that true? There's one body, one Spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But, everybody say but, to each one of us, let's read it, church. Grace, we say was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So here we have Paul talking about the unity of the Spirit. Look, he says, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. But to each one of us, grace was given. In other words, as the body of Christ comes together, there should be oneness, right? Oh, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. We got to stop saying that. God don't have a plan for you and you and you and you. God's got a plan for him, and you get to jump on board. Dude, all this, God's got a plan for you, brother. You know what that's fueled? Division in the church. Oh, pastor doesn't appreciate my gift and my vision. He don't understand. The Lord's got a plan for my life. Well, God's got a plan for my life too. Come on, church. It's not about your plan. It's about his plan. The Bible says that the world will know that we are disciples of Christ by our division and our backbiting and our arguing about everything. Gossip. No. By how much we love each other. They're supposed to walk into a church and say, oh my goodness gracious, I've never seen folks. Why are there folks that are of this kind of persuasion? You know, so we got some not white folks over in this general vicinity. And why are we like white folks? How come all these white, there's white folks and there's dark-skinned folks? And how come all these folks are coming here and all together? And they're doing things together. And how come there's folks that got lots of money and folks that don't have a whole lot of money? And folks that are educated and not educated? And folks that work in a factory and folks that work in a cow? How come all these crazy different folks are coming? Old folks or experienced folks, young folks, all in the middle, single people, people with all kinds of kids. How come all these different people are coming together and doing something bigger than themselves? Because the Spirit of God is moving. Is that true? Paul teaches in the Corinthian letter here, my beloved, not here, this is Ephesians, but Paul teaches in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we could simply say are gifts of, we say grace. Grace. This Holy Spirit in the book of Hebrews is called the Spirit of grace. Is this all right? Ephesians 3, we might get there. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 2. I'm going to jump down a little bit to verse 7. Paul says, if indeed you've heard of the, look at what he says here. Church, let's read it out loud. You've heard of the what? Stewardship of God's grace. Everybody say it together. Of what, church? God's grace, which was given to me for you. He's talking to the church. Right? It's given to me for you. Verse 7. Of which I was made a minister, talking about the gospel, according to the what, church? Gift of what? God's grace. It's free, right? Gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power, God's power, dunamis right there, right? Verse 8, to me, the very least of all saints, this, say it together, church, come on. Grace was given to sit on it and make sure it stays nice and shiny so that when he comes back to check up on what I've been doing, I can give it back to him because it belongs to him. No, he says, this grace was given to me to use it. To preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. So a lot here, we are going to make it. No, maybe not. I don't know. We'll just see. Look at this, church. Paul was given grace. We can see this clearly, right? He says it three times. This grace that was given, this grace that was given, this grace that was given, right? In verse 2, the grace was given him in verse 2. And then Paul clearly understood that not only was he given that grace, but that he was to steward. Everybody say steward. He was to steward that grace. The Greek word means to manage. And I don't know, I've been out of corporate America for a long time. I was never like high in corporate, but I was high enough. I was like, I don't like this place. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, get me out of here. Right? But I don't know, any manager that I've ever run into that does not do his job well and does not take what he's been given to manage and figure out how to make it better is a manager that's not going to have a job for very long. Is that true? People that get promoted in the workplace normally, well, there's some folks get promoted, we know what they do. Normal people that get promoted is because they're doing an excellent job right where they are. And a good manager will see the work ethic and they'll see, man, this person is doing more than I asked them to do. They not only do everything I asked them to do, but they do more. So I'm going to give them some more responsibility because they're showing me that they can handle more than they currently have. Is this all right?
Yes.
Paul says, I'm a steward of this grace. And then in verse 7, he says, that he somehow figures out that this grace was given to him for a very specific reason. Because the grace is given to him to what, church? Preach to the Gentiles. Preach to the Gentiles, right? Yeah, everybody see that? And what's he preaching? The unfathomable riches of Christ. So let's break these few verses down here just for a few moments here, right? Verse 8, to me, the very least, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, to bring to light things hidden in verse 9, right? But then here's verse 10. Everybody say, so that. Here's what Paul's grace is supposed to accomplish. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the what, church? Through the church. Through the church. Guess who that is? That's y'all. Everybody put your hand on your heart right now. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Think about this. Paul had recognized that there was, again, a specific grace on his life, and that God had called him for something very specific, that he was embracing what God had given him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But think about this. So this manifold wisdom, the Greek word is fascinating there. It means multicolored. This multicolored wisdom of God. I thought that, wow, what a weird word right there. Amen. But he says, this is to be manifest to, through the church, right? Through the church to what? The rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Church, I read this week, and my goodness gracious, the Holy Ghost just been all over me about this. And I started thinking about my own life and how wimpy I can be sometimes and just whine and complain about stuff and things happen. Oh, look at how I get whine and cry about it. Call pastor up. Pastor. He's like, suck it up, man. Let's go. He's nicer than that. Can I get amen? I had a good friend of mine call the other day. Yo, pastor, you know, what's going on? I said, bro, stop rolling over and showing the devil your belly every time he knocks on the door. Come on. And here's what the Spirit of the Lord said to me this week. He said, son, look, you're so busy having church services, singing some songs. Let's go down to the mall and talk to people about Jesus. All this, all good stuff. But he says, if you are not going to recognize that the reason you're largely ineffective is because there are rulers and authorities in heavenly places that are blinding the eyes of the people, that are hardening the hearts of the people, what you're doing is going to be largely ineffective. He goes, what you got to do is realize that through the preaching of the word, that grace that comes down through the preacher to the church is to equip you to say, you know what? I'm going to take some stuff down. Come on, church. Look, as during worship, the Spirit of God said to me, he says, every problem in your life is because there's some kind of spiritual root that you have been given the grace to take it down. Well, pastor, I tried to pray one time. I don't know. Yoda, when Luke said, Luke tried to get the X-Wing out of the swamp. Can't, it's too big. I tried. No try. Just do. I don't know, my Yoda is like an Asian. He's an Asian Yoda. I don't know. Remember last week we talked about that guy, the king that strikes the ground three times? Remember that with the arrow? I started thinking about that more. And I went back and read the story. It's Elisha, and he's literally about to die. And it's this king and this, you know. And he actually tells him, once he does it three times and stops, right? He says, you should have struck it five or six times. He actually tells him, but he doesn't tell them that ahead of time. He's like, strike the ground six times. He's like, God. And you know, here's what the Lord said to me. I was pondering. Here's what the Lord said to me. Well, this is what folks say. Well, pastor, I tried tithing for three whole weeks, and the Lord didn't come through. Well, pastor, I went to prayer meetings for three whole weeks. Praise God. And the Lord didn't do nothing. Like God said, look, either tithe or don't. Either pray or don't. Either read your Bible or don't. It's not that this is, I'm going to try it. And then it didn't, nothing happened. Like, God is not serving me or you. He ain't serving this church. God is not serving, there's not a man on this earth that God is serving. God says, look, you want this? You got to do this. That's it. Well, I won't do that. Well, he's like, fine. Take care. He's like, I love you. Come on, church. Any decent parent on the planet, if your kid is off the rails, you're not going to keep giving them, oh God, hey, here's the car, Junior. Dude, no. You're going to say, look, you need to live this way. These are the standards of my home. This is my home. I set the rules here. And if you line up and do what I've asked you to do, then you get these privileges. If you don't do this, you don't get this. Period. Whine, cry, stand on your head, do jumping jacks, jump off the roof into the swimming pool. I don't care. If you do what you're supposed to do, It will go well with you, the Bible says. Amen.
Amen.
Same chapter, a little bit down. Next chapter, Paul says this. Here, look at this one verse. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Ruh-roh. Ruh-roh. But only such a word as is good for edification. That means to encourage or build up, according to the need of the moment. Or say so that. It will give
grace
to those who hear. You know what? This is the same letter, church. Paul in chapter 3, you know what's going on? Paul has received grace from God. He's taken the grace, he's stewarding, and he's managing. He says, okay, God, what am I supposed to do with this grace? What am I feel this call on my life. I feel this anointing. I know you've spoken to me. What am I supposed to do with this thing? And God starts directing him. Look, you know what Paul says? Paul's like, I want to go preach to the Jews. Paul's a Jew. He says, I want to preach to my own people. He says, I would rather be cursed myself if it meant the Jews are saved. But God says, you're not going to preach to the Jews. You're going to preach to the Gentiles. Paul says, okay, if that's the grace, then I'll do it. And through his grace, he starts speaking to the churches and releasing the grace that he has into the church. And so you know what? When the master comes back, you know what Paul's going to say? You gave me five. I made five more. Look what I did. I planted this church in Ephesus. I planted this church in Corinth over here. I planted this church in Philippi. I planted this church over here. And here's what's going on. Look at all the things that are going on in this church. You're like, well, Pastor, I'm not called to preach the gospel. All right, but you're called to do something.
Right.
You're called to do something. Are you married? Well, guess what? You got a call to manage your home.
Right.
Your husband, you're called to be a priest of your house. Well, look at all this stuff around my house. Take authority over it. You have been given grace through the preaching of the word. Well, I don't remember anything preached. Well, we got everything on recording, for crying out loud. We got cassette tapes upstairs from Pastor Rel for like 100 years ago. Come on, church. Some of you are like, what's a cassette tape, Pastor? Yeah, come on. You know what? If anybody got a cassette player anymore, probably sell that on eBay, like $100,000, man. You can tell them it's King, you know, like a it's ancient Egypt or something. You know what I mean? People are like, what is this stuff? Can I get amen? Right, church? Just in this building right here, my beloved, there are thousands and thousands of hours of preaching that have gone on in 32 years in this church. Thousands. I don't know what's going on. No, that's an excuse. If we want to walk in the grace of God, we will pay the price because it's already free, y'all. Can I get amen? Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift that's already in you.
Amen.
Oh, God, give us a fresh touch. He says, stir it up. I touched you last week, man. Go grab onto that. Is this all right, church? All right, we're almost done. Definitely by one. Solid. Think about this. Was Paul looking to go to war with the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? I say yes, because we're all called to do that. Is that true? All of us are called, like God said, look, I put you wherever I put you. I don't care wherever you work, where you go to school, whatever you do. You're there because you're supposed to be shining your light in the midst of darkness.
Amen.
Is that right? And the darkness will not overcome it.
Amen.
Right? So that's what you're supposed to be doing. But, you know, Paul's saying, he's talking to a church here, and he goes, look, one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. And if I'm not real good at math, Kevin, but if you get three, I think the next number up is like 100,000. Demons. We get, oh, Pastor, my boss. Dude, stop getting mad at your boss and start taking authority over the rulers and powers that are influencing your boss's behavior.
Amen.
Come on, church. Maybe God sent you there because your boss needs to get saved. Maybe your boss's marriage is about to end. Maybe your boss is suicidal. He looks fine, making all kinds of money, but maybe he's about to just take his life because he's so jacked up. And all you're worried about is that you got offended because he didn't give you the day off you wanted in the week. Come on, church. It's time to grow up. God is called. Look, I'm just going to tell you the truth, man. This is a Holy Ghost church, man. And praise God, all the churches on the street, people can say praise God. But that's not why this church is here. We ain't just here to come on for 2 hours on Sunday, sing some songs, clap our hands, and praise God, and go out and do whatever we're supposed to do, whatever we want to do all week long. God said, I've called you here to give you an assignment. I've called you here to equip you. I've called you here to give you weapons to use against the powers of darkness. Here we go. Let's stand up. I'm done right here. Oh, Lord, help me. Anybody offended? We'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Church, the main reason I started my sermon with this thing, but I'm going to finish it with this. Got one little passage of the scripture. I'm just going to read it. I won't preach at all, and I think we'll have a little altar time here, because we heard even Kathy talking about distractions, right? The devil is master of distractions. So the main reason, my beloved, that majority of Christians in America are largely ineffective is because we have not realized that we have been given grace. Amen. To take down principalities, powers, rulers, authorities, and all that stuff. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I got in. It don't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. That's irrelevant. What does God say? What has God said? Jesus didn't rebuke the devil by saying, well, I feel like this. I don't know. He said he was hungry. That's how he felt. No matter how he felt. He said, this is what God says. It's written. Amen. We don't realize, my beloved, that through the grace that was given to us, we've also been given something else. Here's Luke 10:19. Alex, can you get it up there for me, bro? Let's read this together, church. Luke 10:19, and then we're done right here. Behold, Jesus speaking, let's say it together, church. Have given you, oh, that's already done, right? Already done. What? Authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over most of the power of the enemy, but there's still some stuff we got to really work hard at. No, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's read that one more time. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you.
Amen.
Amen. Let's clap our hands. Bless the Lord. Yeah. So good. So I want to pray over you, and we'll open the altar if you want to come up. Even with the distractions thing, I would encourage you. As Kathy was sharing, the Spirit of God said to me, especially the distractions that we like. All right, like if a fly is annoying us, we don't like that. It's a distraction. But the Lord's like, look, there's some distractions that you like. You got to put those down.
Amen.
At the altar. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree that this church today, right now, we are done with being a victim.
Amen.
We're done with giving up.
Amen.
We're done with rolling over. We're done with being weak and wimpy. Doesn't mean we don't cry. That's not wimpy. Crying just means I'm hurting. But even if we're crying, we're going to keep fighting.
Amen.
We're going to keep going. If we're tired, we're going to keep on going.
Right.
If we're discouraged, we're going to keep on going. Shake it off.
Yes.
Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Yes.
Paul says, if I'm hungry or full, it don't matter. I'm going to keep on going. If I got some place to stay or I don't got no place to stay, I'm going to keep on going. If everybody's with me or nobody's with me, I'm going to keep on going. because God's with me. And if God is with me, ain't nobody be against me. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I decree over every person in this building, every person online, oh God, that has been struggling with various things, family issues, financial issues, health issues, work, career issues, all these things, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release grace right now. Grace right now. Grace right now. Grace right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, that you will rise up. You will rise up. You will rise up in the name of Jesus and start taking down authorities and rulers in the heavenly places. You say, no more. Everything that's been stealing from me, no more. Everything that's been standing in my way, move. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Oh God, fill us with your power. We're more than conquerors because you love us, God. Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's clap our hands one more time for the Lord. He's good. He's good. He's good. Yeah. And Alex, if we can get Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Have an awesome week. Prayer, guys, will be 6:30 starting this Wednesday here in the sanctuary. Alex, if you can give us something tasteful for some ministry time. Church, anybody here that you know there's something that you need to put down, I want you to come on up here, just you and Jesus. And just leave it with him. Jesus' name. Blessings on you guys. We love you all. Have an awesome week. Our community group leaders, we have lunch coming shortly and our last call with Bishop Pitts. Amen. So bless you guys. Have an awesome week. In Jesus' name. Amen.